ABC Radio Darwin.
Okay.
Michael, just how big is this? How far has this story gone?
Well, Queens have retweeted saying incredible and can't wait to share a stage. So that's probably the biggest. And I know I've seen online and people have told me that a lot of people are flying up from down south for the gig because their gigs down south are sold out. I know they're doing Splendor as well, but it's a big thing for Darwin. They'll need a really big PA, and to have bands of that caliber coming through Darwin is almost unheard of. We never get stuff like this. So to go and see Queen on their own merit and power is, I know people who have bought tickets just because they say, I've never, you know, I'm in Darwin and I never see something of that sort of size. And I've heard the lead singer, Josh, I think he's talked about loving to go to places that are a bit off the track. And so I think it's great for Darwin to have that coming here and us being able to experience it.
I know Brisbane's a little bit narky about the situation.
Well, I think other cities are too. I think they're only doing two cities down south, aren't they?
I'm not sure.
But, you know, the Lonely Boys getting the support, it's for people who don't know the Lonely Boys, they kind of exist in their own world, and we run Barunga Festival, and they're the heroes of Barunga Festival. Everyone goes to bed and then suddenly they hit the stage about 12 and people either get up or they've been waiting for them to come to the stage. And they're the unofficial highlight each year for the last few years of what happens there. And it's great running a festival that has these unique factors around it, which are this band. Most bands, I reckon, take about 10 years to develop as artists in their own right, and these guys have done that. They did Groove and the Moo about 10 years ago and have been developing their sound, working away, and last year got the opportunity to work with James Mungahig, who we work with really closely at the label, and he took them to the Gold Coast and worked with a producer called Forrester Saville, and they've come up with an EP that rivals anything nationally or even internationally, and that's kind of the bar that we try to put to most of the bands up here. And their responsibility now is to try and rise to that and come to Darwin and smash the convention centre.
How did the support for Queens happen?
Like any support, there's all sorts of desperados out there pitching their wares. But what I love about this whole story and what happened on the weekend and, you know, the viralness of the campaign, as you said, was it's sometimes, and not very often, but sometimes people who deserve to get it, get the gig, and these guys kind of suit the brief. You know, they're out there. They kind of fit the genre. They're a little bit more wild, but they kind of fit the genre. And I think promoters, Alan James, part of the local Darwin team who are choosing support like that, come on board and go, yep, this it probably stylistically and socially should go to a heavy white rock band, but occasionally these guys snag it, and on this occasion they have.
What has the response been since the news story and a few write-ups have hit social media? What have you seen?
Yeah, it's funny. Media hype and vibe can be manufactured, but everything's been very natural. Anything from BBC, Triple J has interviewed them, Vice magazine, which is an enormous magazine through here in America, has come on board. I know there's other media organisations who have been hassling us and them, from SBS through to more mainstream. iTunes. Everyone's kind of really interested in this band because of what's happened. And I think I'm not a PR person, and I never want to be, because in a way your job is to hype something whether it's great or not. But we've sort of bypassed that stage, and it's gone to people actually naturally tapping in on the fact that it's an honest and exciting band from the bush. And look, anyone from our peers, Briggs, through to people we've worked with over the past 10 years, have always identified Lonely Boys as a killer band, an exciting band, and what people who love music and people who love going to a live gig and that unpredictable element of it really embrace, and that is just raw talent, raw musicianship. And I think that's what's driven that fact that everyone's picked up on it. And also the story on ABC initially was edited really well by Ben, the TV journalist, who saw the humour in the fact that these guys live in their own world in Roper, in Nooka. And sure, they've never heard of them. They actually do struggle with having their own instruments and all of that sort of stuff and keeping it together. And that element of the story was edited in a way that was great. And I was surprised to get phone calls from around the country saying that wasn't some novel news story at the end of the ABC News on Saturday, but it was in the middle of the news bulletin all around the country. So there's something that touches people's emotions going, yep, this is great and true and real, and we're onto it.
On ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory, you're hearing from Michael Honan, Creative Director for Skinny Fish Music. Michael, have people heard that part of the story about the band not rehearsing and not having instruments? Have people from, I don't know, I'm thinking penthouse apartments in the southeast corner of the country, have they been sending you instruments? And
I don't know, penthouse, maybe the 10th level. Look, a GoFundMe campaign for those Nooka boys would be fantastic, because they've got so little. We try to pitch them to Splendor, to Meredith, to some of the credible festivals around the country, but getting eight guys from Nooka down south is really expensive, and so it doesn't make sense to book them. And I know this is ABC and T, so there's probably not a lot of benefactors or people who would love to help them, but they are guys that would and could benefit from a lot of help, because they're just naturally exciting and they're constantly needing stuff, you know, needing instruments. We had them playing at Barunga this year, and they arrived about 11 p.m. on the Sunday night because they broke an axle and went to the tip and fixed it and drove from Nooka to Barunga to perform. And for me, I was up on the stage trying to be security at 12 p.m. on Sunday night. But I was watching them going, this is so exciting. This is like watching any heavy rock band in the UK or the US. They just have that energy about them. And it's a challenge to bring that same energy to the convention centre when no punters actually know what they're doing in Darwin. But hopefully if the Queens have any headspace or time to support them in any way, you know, they can get on site and they can make the concert here, I think it's July 16 or something, concert here in Darwin, something that's special, but what a lot of people love, which is uniquely Darwin, but also really entertaining and musical at the same time.
We heard there, and part of the fun has been that they don't have a television and they're not watching Rage. They don't know who Queens are. Do you know if they've listened at all in the past couple of days since that story went to it?
Yeah, they've been checking out YouTube a lot. And they've been looking at all of the radio and television stuff that the band's been doing around the world. And they're pretty shocked, I think. It's made them pretty nervous. But also, what they'll do is they'll jump on stage and do their thing. And a stadium gig is different from a normal show. And they've just got a responsibility to get up there and do their thing and try to smash it as they do when they go on stage at Barunga, I think. I mean, that's all we're saying to them. It's you're musicians and you're one of the most exciting bands up here and you actually need to show people other away from Noombawa and Nooka and Catherine that you can kill it.
And I think now, I think there'll be people coming to see them just as much as Queens. I think people are excited from the comments on social media.
Yeah, there seems to be. They're kind of, you know how some of the more popular heavy rock bands and more popular sort of, they're almost a rock punk band, but they do have a pop element to them. And there's no doubt Lonely Boys have a pop element to them. They sing in Creole language. And Creole language is something that's not really been exposed in the territory, but it's a really entertaining language and it's an engaging language and it's something that needs to be exposed up here. And I think it's really great to have that language out there. And I think that they'll be really entertaining to be do that.
I hope the nerves don't get to them. Maybe,
no,
maybe
no, they'll be right.
Yeah, great. Have you seen plays on those streaming sites that you can immediately measure? Have you seen any increase in plays since the story went viral?
Look, we haven't measured that. We've been more concentrating on the band itself and talking to them. And because they're so remote and so removed, we sort of spend more of our time communicating. James at the label has been ringing them and telling them what's been happening in the news, getting them hooked up with Triple J, all that sort of stuff. So we're concentrating on them being aware of it and being in the loop, if you like. But I know that our distributor has been ringing us saying, you know, iTunes wants this and other people want this. So there must be more than a little bit of buzz about it. And that, I suppose that's what heartens me, the fact that there is buzz about it. But I as a musician, I love the fact that when you can get beyond your friends supporting you and your local community supporting you and it goes further, I sort of measure that as one of the success points. Because having been a musician for so many years, you can get all of your mates and friends to a gig. But once it goes beyond that, it's almost like you can relax a little bit more. And with the attention that they're getting at the moment, it's a little bit like that. It's we're not having to rally the troops, if you like, to get support for them. It's growing naturally and organically, and people are writing saying, I love their honesty. And, you know, we're working with Katie Baker at the moment, who's this amazing singer. And the mix engineer who's mixed everyone over the last 30 years, but, you know, from the Avalanches across the board, just loves the fact that what Katie's doing is not auto-tuned. It's not, it's all completely natural and it's not overproduced, if you like. And I think there's a big part of society that loves something that's a bit more raw and not so overproduced and a bit natural, and you can actually tap into what's there. And I think that's what's happening with this band as well. People are tapping onto the fact that, no, we actually don't want something that's so manufactured that it's perfect. It's more rootsy and alive and exciting.
Have there been any negative responses when anything goes a bit hectic on social media? There are those people who think they can say anything. Are there people who are envious of this opportunity, who don't like that idea that Lonely Boys don't know who Queens of the Stone Age are?
Look, I always expect stuff like that, and we're not people who troll all of the sites for stuff like negativity. But what has been surprising, it has been incredibly positive, which is refreshing. There was one comment saying, I'm going to arrive 5 minutes before the Stones, the Queens play. But if that's the worst, if that's the worst comment you're going to get.
Good on you. You'll be at the back.
Yeah, and I think other punters jumped on that person pretty quickly anyway. So, no, I think everyone's genuinely behind them, and I hope they do great. And I think if nothing else, it'll be great, you know, for Darwin to have such a huge international act here, good on the promoters or good on whoever's putting the gig on, to bring someone like that of that calibre here, but also to have territory musicians come and be involved and it make it feel like it's a gig that couldn't be anywhere else in the world, I think that'll be another special element to it.
Perhaps not time to rally that idea of a GoFundMe page before Sunday the 16th of July for rehearsal and instruments, but can we just check on the transport for that weekend that the bus is organised? It's got axles.
I reckon they should try. I reckon it's their responsibility to get here themselves. Maybe we'll have a standby, but I love the self-determination of most of the guys that we work with, and I think if they can get here, I think they'll even smash it more because they're more in control of their destiny and responsibility. And you know, that's what part of being a musician is about. It's like doing something for yourself and making it happen. And we can only, you know, you can take a horse to water, as the expression goes, but we can only do so much. And, you know, we've got a gig for them and it's up to, well, I reckon it's up to them now.